From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, March 24th. Coming up, we'll learn how life changed when Illinois' pandemic lockdown began 5 years ago. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker and Senator Dick Durbin both say that voters must put pressure on Republicans in Congress to avoid cuts to social services. Durbin and Pritzker made separate stops throughout Illinois in the past week to highlight how proposed federal spending cuts could affect the state. At a Taylorville hospital, Durbin said cuts to Medicaid could force some rural hospitals to close. And during a stop in Peoria, Pritzker said hundreds of thousands of residents could lose health care coverage if cuts are made. More than 3 million people in Illinois are covered by their traditional Medicaid program. More than 700,000 people are covered under an expansion. Pritzker says the cost of the programs are too high for the state to make up if Congress reduces them. As the Trump administration plans the dismantling of the Department of Education, advocates in Illinois say the state needs to step up its commitment to public education. Lisa Corian-Phillip reports.
Lisa Castillo Richmond leads the local nonprofit Partnership for College Completion.
We need to stand up and say, with all of the evidence that we have and all that we know individuals and families and parents want for their kids, like, this is what we need in the state of Illinois, and we're going to make it really excellent. And we invite you all to move here and go to our colleges and universities and public schools.
Doing away with the education department requires congressional approval. But Castillo Richmond says if the move goes through, low-income students and students of color will be among the most harmed. I'm Lisa Corian-Phillip.
Later today, the Fighting Illini women's basketball team will face the number one seeded Texas Longhorns in the NCAA tournament. Illinois defeated Creighton 66-57 on Saturday. After the first round game, Coach Shauna Green praised her players.
Every single person is so 100% in. They're all in. I mean, everyone. You see our bench. The energy they bring every day, the communication. This is a whole team effort. Even though only six guys play tonight, we need every single person, and they've just been amazing.
The Fighting Illini will take on Texas today at 1 p.m. You can watch the game on ESPN. Still to come, we'll learn how an alternative to the USDA organic label could be more accessible for farmers. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with breezy winds and a high of 55 degrees, a west wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of light rain and a low of 38 degrees, southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain and a high of 57 degrees. Northwest wind, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain and a low of 34 degrees. North wind, 5 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 58 degrees and a northwest wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, it's an ominous time for public broadcasting.
We are here to fill gaps, not simply reach the broadest, largest possible audience.
We'll talk about how the Trump administration and others in government are targeting the future of NPR and PBS. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. People are interested in eating food that's produced naturally. But what naturally means isn't always clear. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's organic label is supposed to give consumers confidence that their food was grown without pesticides and with care for the animals. But high certification costs have some smaller farmers looking for alternatives. As Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk contributor Harshan Ratanpal reports, one label has been trying to establish itself as an alternative.
As they hear Jennifer Dunsing approaching, the heads of three pigs pop out of their shed. Those footsteps mean it's feeding time. They trot through an open space to meet Dunsing, the owner of Illinois Country Harvest.
Yeah, they think they're going to get fed, so they'll come talk to us.
These pigs eat USDA organic feed and vegetables that Dunsing grows on the farm. And in 2 months' time, when they're butchered and processed, that pork will be considered organic too. Kind of. Instead of going through the USDA's organic certification process, Dunsing uses an alternative label called Certified Naturally Grown, or CNG. It's been around since 2002, and it has mostly the same regulations as the USDA.
A lot of farmers are committed to ecological practices and probably would qualify for organic certification, but they hesitate because of the expense and also the paperwork.
That's Alice Varin, the executive director of CNG. She says CNG is a more accessible option for small farmers who sell directly to consumers. Under both programs, farmers go through an annual review of their practices. Organic farmers pay an agency, while CNG farmers turn to other farmers. In other words, it's a peer review process.
It helps keep the program affordable for the farmers because they're not paying someone to come out and do the annual inspection.
Liz Graznack runs Happy Hollow Farm out of Jamestown, Missouri. Her whole farm is certified USDA organic.
I pay them, you know, whatever their set fees are. And then I have to pay the travel expenses for the person that's coming to inspect the farm. So it's usually a couple, $2,000, $3,000 a year.
CNG's annual fee is just $250. But Graznack says the higher fees are worth it because the USDA organic label carries more cachet. And that's especially important because she sells at farmers markets and grocery stores.
The public knows what the USDA label is. They recognize that, and it means something.
At the Columbia, Missouri Farmers Market, David Lovelady just bought some veggies from Graznack. It's important to him that his food is grown without synthetic pesticides. But the endless number of labels, organic, grass-fed, farm-raised, cage-free, makes it hard to make informed decisions.
It's a leap of faith.
Other patrons agreed, and most of them have never heard of CNG.
Well, I would need more information to have an understanding of what does certified naturally grown mean. What does that mean?
Sharon Gray is with the University of Connecticut's Department of Extension. She educates people about nutrition and what food labels do and don't mean. She says there are a ton of food labels out there that sound good, like natural.
People do like purchasing natural foods. I think right now it's just the definition isn't clear enough that people buy it and it's not necessarily regulated.
Certified naturally grown needs trust and recognition to not get lumped in with meaningless marketing labels. So they applied for money from the USDA and got $400,000 to help local farms in central Arkansas and western Virginia. There, they'll train farmers on marketing and outreach. But a lot of farmers aren't too worried about marketing or labels. Jennifer Dunzing, with the pigs, sells directly to her customers and is able to have conversations with them about how exactly she raises her crops and her critters. She still goes through the CNG process because it gives her assurance and a peer's oversight that she's sticking to the guidelines.
I also feel like some people who say that they grow naturally and don't go through the certification process may not have the correct understanding of what growing naturally is.
Ultimately, for her, any label is much less important than knowing she's growing food in a way that sits right with her and her customers. I'm Harshon Rattenpaul.
This story comes from the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk and is being distributed through Harvest Public Media. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 & 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Lisa Corian Phillip, Colin Highslope, and Harshon Rattenpaul. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 & 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.